Welcome back in to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And, of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open, 512-222-9328. And over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, of course, on YouTube. Give us a like and a subscribe if you're watching over there to always get your notifications that when we are going live in the morning and the afternoon, we do special shows and pre-games and post-games and all of that. It's good to notice. Keep up with you guys. Always appreciate you hanging out with us here, even as we get closer and closer to the holidays. And I know work schedules are turning out different now, and you have work parties and then friend Christmases and white elephants and all of that stuff coming up. So we do appreciate it when you are spending time with us here at Open Gym and at Texas Sports Unfiltered. Matt, it is a Tuesday, which means it is time for overreactions. It's a little bit harder now. Maybe not as many overreactions on a week where only one college football game happened. But I've still got some overreactions here from college football. I've got some overreactions from the NFL that we put together every week, which are either things that I've heard, things that I've read, or things I've just made up myself because I like to overreact myself sometimes too. I know I'm pretty level-headed on the show now. By the time we get on air and we're going, I'm usually pretty – I don't want to spark everything, but I do sometimes have a few hot takes or a few thoughts in my head, and I just go to that weird part of my brain, man, where you have that thought, like, maybe if they were all group of five teams, the playoffs would be better. And you're like, no, part of my brain, it would not be better that way. All right. Let's start off with your first one. If anybody has any you want to throw in of any of your overreactions you've heard, read, or just have yourself, throw those into the chat, throw those in the text line, and we'll get to those as well. First overreaction that I've seen this week, Leon LaFell will lead the way for more top players to leave Texas in the portal.
I don't think so. I can't really think of any other big time players that would leave for the portal. If you want to talk about Jelani McDonald or Trevor Goosby going pro, then you know there's a conversation to be had there. I do think they're going to return, but I think in terms of big time names that you're going to see enter the portal, this is probably the biggest one you're going to see. I think that that Texas does a really good job at player retention and focusing on the players that they need to keep. So we're putting out a story about the five players that Texas needs to make sure that they keep. Colin Simmons is obviously at the top of the list. That's not a surprise to anybody. I don't think there's going to be an issue there. And
I don't know. He's not even an All-American.
Well, he was, but the coaches made him an All-American.
Okay, good.
And their All-American team. But, you know, Trevor Goosby, Jack Endries, Ryan Wingo, guys like that, Jelani McDonald, those are all the guys that you would be potentially concerned about, like in one way or another, but I think that they'll probably all be back.
Victor, I do not believe so. He is opted out of the bowl game or reports already, so that would lead you to believe that he is going pro.
Yeah, we've had a story in the can for about 2 weeks that he's going pro, so it's that's what my guess would be.
Yeah, my guess is that he's going pro, but he's getting all the information first before he makes his final decision and puts it out and does all of that. But, Victor, I would say my guess is that Manny Muhammad is gone. I've seen this. I don't think it'll be the case of it. Leon LaFell is one of the only, if it's only one, it doesn't feel like it's a trend yet that people would be abandoning the program. I don't think they would be. I haven't gotten the feeling from anyone I've talked to that makes me feel like there's some worry within the program or worry among the players. It does feel more as if, there's business as usual. And sometimes some of those guys are going to leave, but I don't necessarily think you're going to lose a bunch of those guys that you would expect to put in that role. I think, the player retention will still be there and they know what they're doing. All right. Our next overreaction, Matt. Michigan will actually be better next year after all of this mess.
I have a really hard time seeing that. If the new coach that they bring in can convince all of their top guys to stay, and they don't have a massive, they don't have a massive turnover via the portal, then I could potentially see it. but it all depends on who they hire first and foremost.
It does. I'm getting more and more in the Kenny Dillingham camp for this.
He sure didn't turn the rumors earlier today.
He did not, and that's the thing, is that we're hearing him not turn down the rumors. You thinking about a guy who could walk in and make people excited to play there, and kind of quell a little bit, I think, more of having Biff Poggy be your guy right now, that maybe is not quelling anybody's concerns about the program. You bring in somebody who's been a pretty energetic guy, put some guys into the NFL from a smaller program in Arizona State than you are at Michigan. I think that, like everything about it, yes, if you can get Kalen DeBoer, you will be a better team next year. But Kenny Dillingham, I think, could push in there. And then it comes down to, was Sherrone Moore really, like, ever going to be the guy long-term? And is Dillingham a better hire than Sherrone Moore was? So technically you're in a better space to start with. I think it's going to be hard after signing day and after the, you know, unless they're able to get it done quick. My guess would be that their timeline is to offer Kalen DeBoer on Saturday morning. And when he turns it down, move on to their next coaching, which would either be a Dillingham or maybe a couple other few guys that could be in there. Maybe who's a Washington coach right now? Jed Fish. Maybe somebody like that. But my guess is they're waiting till Friday, Saturday morning. Just probably. Last second. You know what? Why don't we just wait to see? If they get blown, if they lose to Oklahoma, what's the feeling there? Because that's our number one guy. But
yeah,
if not, then we can go somewhere else. We can go to a guy who was in the playoffs a year ago who did a lot of things. And I think for Kenny Dillingham, he understands too. I don't want to get like, I love Arizona. I love Arizona State. I would like to never leave. I also want to win championships, and I don't think it's going to happen here. So I know how hard it is to recruit here, and I know how easy it would be to recruit there. So my guess is that he would be the guy. But that's just my opinion. But I think they could end up with a better coach and end up in a better place. And I don't know if they'll be better next season, but I think they could be better in 2-3 years if they clean that program up a little bit more and get themselves in a position with somebody who's a real leader as opposed to what's been in there of – it just kind of being everyone for themselves.
Yeah. I'm trying to find Dillingham's comments.
From what I saw, it was basically, I love this place and I will always love this place. But yeah, that was about it.
he didn't say, no, I'm not leaving. He didn't say, no, I'm not considering the job. He just said, I'm just going to do my best do my best for the players here. Yes. And I love everybody here and I'm always going to love it here.
Yeah. Which is true. But also I want to go win and you guys do not have the resources for that.
Yeah. And I'm losing Sam Leavitt.
I'm losing Jordan Tyson and I've already lost Cam Scadaboo. Yeah. There was three guys who made that team click. And all three are gone. We go ahead and move on. Victor, injuries, still has a year of eligibility left, so nothing has been said on him, but he was a junior this year, so he has another year left. Mm-hmm. So he could come back.
By the way, according to reports, Drew Mestemaker is considering Oklahoma State and Indiana.
Those are two wildly different outcomes this season.
Well, I think the Oklahoma State one's kind of obvious because that's where his head coach is going.
Yeah.
But Indiana is going to be in the market after Fernando Mendoza goes pro. So
I know. I'm just saying that those are wildly different. So bad we had to fire the coach that was never going to get fired here, or number one team in the country. Feels like they're on different ends of the spectrum right now. all right. Our next overreaction is, actually, we got a text right here. Let's see this text from Longhorn and Levick. He says, not saying they were trying to kick LaFell out, but Texas will keep who they want. Look, I think they do really well with retention. I don't think they were kicking LaFell out. I think they wanted LaFell there. I just don't think they offered him it's like kind of like DJ Lagway. You're like, you're not the guaranteed guy. You're not the next Anthony Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's like I said earlier. He's probably going to get his snaps eaten into by, you know, Elijah Barnes and potentially Tyler Atkinson and, you know, Ty'Anthony Smith, and they're going to bring a couple transfers in there, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be the starter. So, you know, maybe he'll end up at BYU, because I posted the story about him on Twitter, and I had like four BYU people pop in and send BYU memes. So maybe that's where he's going. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the Mormons do heavily recruit in the islands.
They do.
Just saying. They do recruit heavily out there, so would not be the craziest thing in the world. All right, next overreaction, Matt. Notre Dame will be forced to join a conference in the next 5 years.
I sure hope so. I don't know if that's an overreaction or not, but I sure hope so. Because whatever setup they have now is completely unfair.
Okay, I will lead that with a follow-up. What conference would you think Notre Dame joins? Not the one that makes the most sense, but which one do you think they would actually join? As we know, a somewhat crybaby school right now, do they go to the ACC where they have had a relationship and played teams and, you know, kind of continue working with the ACC where they know they can probably run roughshod and control a lot more things? Do they go to the Big Ten where the competition is more dire, but you're going to get a bigger paycheck if you go to the Big Ten, but you also can't run the Big Ten because Ohio State and Michigan, and now, I mean, Indiana's not powerhouse yet, but they're a really good team, but like a political powerhouse, they're not that. But you do have in USC, like political teams that have power in the Big Ten. Do you go there? Do you play a complete oddball and go, we're going to go to the Big 12 and run the Big 12 because when Texas and Oklahoma left, there's a massive power void, and man, they want a power team like Notre Dame to walk in there and just run the Big 12 as the Notre Dame conference. Or do they go against all of that and the SEC throws some pitch out there to bring in, you know, we're the best team, we're the best conference, Notre Dame, come on down to the Southeast. Where do you think they end up?
All right. So I've got four possibilities for you. I think the one that makes most sense geographically and recruiting wise and television wise and all that stuff is the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be too scared to join the Big Ten because they won't be guaranteed a playoff spot every year.
Well, and not only that,
there's going to be other teams in there.
They're going to know that they're going to walk in and have to answer to other schools. And I don't think they want
that. I don't think they want that either. So I don't think the Big Ten is going to ultimately end up being it. I think the one that makes the most sense in terms of previous relationships and ability to come in and dominate a conference very quickly is the ACC. That would probably be the one that I put my money on if I had to pick one, because obviously the ACC isn't afraid to reach outside of its geographic, you know, area to bring a conference team in, even though Stanford and Cal are likely going to go back to whatever the Pac-12 ends up becoming. Or the Pac-2 ends up becoming. The Big 12 also makes sense in that kind of, you know, that kind of thing, because they could come in and instantly be the face of the Big 12 and run the conference.
Yeah.
But here's what I think the most Notre Dame thing ever would be. Okay. I think they would join the Mountain West or the MAC. Because then they could guarantee themselves to be the top ranked group of five team every single year and get into the playoff.
I like the pettiness of this pick, Matt. I don't think that would be the case because of the money.
I don't either. But in terms of like, we don't want to play any hard teams and with this, that, and this.
Basically the ACC, the only reason the Big Ten makes sense is because of the money, because there's more money in the Big Ten than there is in the ACC. And the real question is, if Notre Dame does go to a conference, it will be because a TV company, so either Fox or ESPN, ABC, come to Notre Dame and say, here is the plan. We will renegotiate with the entire conference because you are coming in. And we will give them more money to give you more money if you come and leave NBC to come over to our airwaves. Mm-hmm. And it would take either, and basically that's the bidding war, is Fox and ABC. The thing is, the Big 12 doesn't have that. So as much as I think they could go in the Big 12, and hell, they go to the Big 12 if NBC wants to and say, you guys, let's buy you out of your contract and put all of the Big 12 on NBC. Because y'all are in the CW and all this other stuff, and you're a low end on whatever you're in, and we can just put all of you all on NBC with us, and you're all on Peacock now. We could see, you know, that's a possibility. The SEC doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That was more of just, I'm naming off the group of four conferences, Power Four conferences. I think the ACC and Big Ten are probably your two leaders, and it really comes down to money. At the end of the day, all this really comes down to money. If Fox comes in and says, we're going to pay way more money to get Notre Dame in the Big Ten, there's a real chance they go there. I agree. I don't think they want to deal with the power dynamics. I think it'd be a constant fight. But I think they would, you know, I think both of them would be able to make that work. And the ACC could do it, but they just don't make enough money for what Notre Dame wants. Because Notre Dame would have to leave NBC and making all that money, that NBC money, behind. So they'd have to figure out all the money part of it, but I think those are the two real ones. The Big 12 is just interesting because there are kind of a rudderless ship. And you feel like Notre Dame could walk in there and be like, your savior has arrived.
That's why that one makes so much sense to me. It because does. They're so...
By the way, did you get my religious thing? I did the touchdown, yes. Jesus. And the...
That's why it makes so much sense to me, though, is because they feel like they're such front runners and such game changers, and they feel like they're so much better than everybody else that they feel like they could walk into a conference like the Big 12 and just be like, guys, we're in charge. I know it's our first year, but we're in charge. Everything we say goes. And Brett Yormark and the rest of the Big 12 just be like, oh, yes, yes, Notre Dame, yes.
And then the Big 12 will break up over the Fighting Irish Network that they'd be watching.
Here's what's going to be funny is when the Big 12 lets them keep their NBC contract and everybody else has to stay on the same TV contract.
Yeah.
And then it causes more teams to leave the Big 12 than the Big 12 implodes.
Oh, perfect. All right. How about this one? If Texas Tech loses their first game, they will spend even more money next year to try and win another, to try and make a championship run.
I think they're going to do that anyway.
I don't know. I think there's a chance that if they win, they just go, we won. Like, they win a national title. It feels like they're not going to spend that much anymore.
I think that they're going to do this for as long as they possibly can, and I think it's going to be like a 2 to 3 year window.
Well, because we got to remember, it's one man's choice. There's one guy who's paying for this. So there's one dude who's willing to put up the amount of money that it takes to do it. There's other people that have money that are throwing it in there. But for one guy to be able to make that decision over and over again, let's go get the best guy in the portal. Let's go get the best guy in the portal. Let's go get this guy and just outspend everybody else. That I don't know how long that will last, but I'm curious if they lose in the first round, do they go, well, we made our point. Because also this was also a big point of it was to try and get some legislation passed that he's trying to get done that'll basically make it so people can't do what he's doing because he doesn't want to keep doing this long term. So his goal was to do it until they pass the legislation and basically strong hand them into it. But I'm curious, they lose in the first round, what do they do? Because now you're like, well, you're not strong handing, you're just good in the Big 12. Still not going to be great.
I mean, I think if they make it to a national title and they lose, they're still going to do it.
I do. I'm saying they lose their first game. Like if they go in that first game and just get blown out, just it's not even like, I don't even see how they get blown out, but if they play that first game and it just doesn't go and like they lose
Oregon versus Texas Tech, isn't that what it would be?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oregon just takes them. Yeah, I think it's Oregon Texas Tech would be.
Probably. I think they would do it.
All right. Let's go with this one. If Miami loses on Saturday, the ACC is now the worst Power Four conference.
I think they already are the worst Power Four conference.
I don't know. Because, again, we'll say Texas Tech is in the Big 12, but the Big 12 is also not great. And the Big 12 has been kind of the lower conference for a while. But now the ACC is falling in because ACC, if Florida State was still up there, it'd have been a thing. But, Virginia was okay this year. So is ACC, you're just going there, definitely the worst?
Okay, the top four teams in the ACC this year, or the top five teams, because we're going to include Duke because they won the conference.
Yeah.
Were Miami, Virginia, SMU, Georgia Tech, Miami, Virginia, SMU, Georgia Tech, and Duke. So that's okay. That's okay. That's a 9-3 team, an 8-5 team, a 10-3 team, an 8-4 team. And then you look at the Big 12, and they've got five ranked. Their top five teams all finished ranked. Texas Tech's 12-1, BYU's 11-2, Utah was 10-2, Houston was 9-3, Arizona was 9-3. I just think that's a better conference. Yeah. Like, the ACC needs Florida State and Clemson and Miami all to be good for this to work. And right now, two of them are dog water.
That is, I think that's, yeah, maybe I missed Clemson. Clemson being down really, really hurts this mm-hmm. the ACC. All right. All right. How about this one? This will be the busiest day one of the portals yet.
Meaning
tampering at an all-time high. We will see more as soon as the portal opens, people committing. And within an hour, within 2 hours, people knowing exactly where they're going and committing to a new school will be as much as there's ever been, because tampering is as prevalent as it's ever been.
Absolutely. I don't think it's going to be even close. I think this is going to be the most Wild West transfer portal that we've ever seen, and it's going to kind of kickstart some sort of way to tamper things down and you know, reduce all of this tampering. I don't know how you do it, because there's so many people who do it behind the scenes that aren't necessarily connected to the programs, like high school coaches or agents or whatever.
Yeah. Longer and Lubbock does have a good point here. Big 12 has half the NFL players that the ACC has. The ACC does provide a lot more NFL talent than the Big 12 does, just as a marker of not good teams. But yes, there may be a lot of talent there in the ACC.
Just better coached football teams, I think, in the Big 12. Right?
No, I'm with you. It's always a good point there on the text line. That was a good
point. Also, I just want to point out Warren Sapp's tweet about Texas being fake football.
Yeah.
Texas, the state of Texas, has more players in the NFL than any other state in the country.
Of course. Of course. Because, I mean, you're talking about Dallas and Houston alone probably knock out most states. Mm-hmm. Georgia's number
Dallas
one.
Probably knocks out
Atlanta is number one city. Dallas is number two. Houston's like three or four. So it's mm-hmm. like it goes pretty quick there of the people that have the most cities. But yeah, I think I'm with you. Day one of the portal this year is going to be nuts. I think there may be even people that are just like actively trying not to hide it, for them to be like, you have to stop this tampering. Like, we already know who we got. Everybody's already, all the deals are already done mm-hmm. before the portal opens. Because you guys will not change you guys will continue to live like this is not a big money sport anymore, because you just want to keep getting your cut.
Well, you just look at some of these quarterbacks that have already come out, like Sam Leavitt. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to go to X or Y. And DJ Lagway, oh, he's going to go to Baylor or LSU. And then, you know, on and on down the list. It's like they already know where they're going to end up. It's not a secret.
No, it's always like one or two and where they go. And then there's somebody else who calls them up and they just go, talk to my agent. I don't want to talk to you. they got to get those phone calls. All right, let's hit a couple here on the NFL side. We'll start with the Eagles have fixed their issues on offense. They had a big game this weekend, Matt. The Eagles did. Look like they were flowing. Finally, they do beat the Raiders 31-0. Mm-hmm. Have the Eagles fixed their issues on offense?
No.
No, that's not a hard one. It isn't. Playing the Raiders doesn't get you there. The same way the Jags. Get a Jags question in a minute. But the Jags, also their offense is not the most prolific offense of all time, because they beat the Jets by a lot.
Yeah, You're supposed to. Saquon Barkley still averaged 3.5 yards per carry.
Ooh, that's a number I don't like to see. I do like to see it, but I don't. If I was an Eagles fan, I wouldn't. All right, the Micah Parsons injury ruins the Packers' Super Bowl hopes.
Probably. I think they were already kind of on the edge of falling out of contention, because they've been so inconsistent. but now your best defensive player is gone. So unfortunately, probably, yeah. I was really rooting for the Packers.
Yeah, this one does feel like a major setback of somebody that not only was pressuring quarterbacks, getting sacks, and being an elite defender, was drawing double teams on almost every single play. Like, he was drawing so much. He was the gravitational pull of Micah Parsons. And now you can play that team so differently offensively. And they just, their offense doesn't feel like it's ready to go. The Matthew Golden addition hasn't really worked out so far this season. I think it's going to get a lot better next season. I still have a lot of faith in Matthew Golden. But I think that, you know, just Jordan Love hasn't fully taken over to be the guy game after game. The consistency isn't there offensively that they, I think they can be led by the offense. I think they kind of had to be led by that defense, and the offense was going to be really good. And that's what made him a Super Bowl threat. All right. How about this one? After a big game on Thursday Night Football, he's had a few big games this season. Kyle Pitts will get a big money contract this offseason. I've seen this going around. Kyle Pitts, 11 receptions for 166 yards and 3 touchdowns against Tampa Bay on Thursday. He's going to spin some of these big games into, man, if we just put him on the right team, Kyle Pitts is finally going to be good.
I think, unfortunately, that's probably going to be the case. And then whoever signs him, or if the Falcons re-sign him to a major deal, they're going to be like, well, shit, we made a mistake.
Well, if the Falcons re-sign him, it's definitely, like, you have to let him go. If he's going to get a big contract, let somebody else go take that chance. And maybe he'd work better on a different team. This Falcons offense has been bad in a lot of ways. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar. But if you put him on the right team, I think he could do some things well. Used in the right way. But I'm curious to see what his contract is going to be, because depending on what team he's on, it's either going to make a ton of sense or make no sense at all. And I'm probably going to lean toward make no sense at all for what they pay him. All right. It's time to put in Quinn Ewers, Matt. Time to put in Quinn Ewers. Mike McDaniel said after the game, Tua didn't look good. Mike McDaniel said after Monday Night Football, yeah, we don't know. We may, you know, I'm not standing by Tua being our quarterback for the rest of the season. We're going to make that decision on Wednesday. So they could be moving on to another quarterback. Is that Zach Wilson? Is that Quinn Ewers? Do they stick with Tua? Is it Quinn Ewers' time in Miami?
I mean, you're already eliminated from the playoffs, right?
See what you got.
So why not? Give Quinn a chance. See what you got in him. You can make a trade for Tua to a team that needs a quarterback in the offseason. If Quinn doesn't work out for you, you can draft one.
Yeah, but I think, I kind of prefer he set out his entire first season. He already hasn't done that. But if you're at the point, it doesn't, if you're going to bench Tua too, if you're deciding it's time to move on from Tua, at least for this season, look for his health and just go, you know, we don't want you to get hurt in the last three games. Silly for you to get hurt now. So we have a lot of money tied up in you. So whether we're trading you or letting you go or doing whatever, if you get hurt, it kind of ruins us for the next year. So We just need you to be healthy at the end of the year. So why don't we sit you down? It makes more sense to me to play Quinn Ewers than it does Zach Wilson. You might want to see what you have in Zach Wilson, but it doesn't feel like there's been any real talk from behind the Miami Dolphins that he's been this reclamation case, like a Sam Darnold was, or like Baker Mayfield kind of was, even though Baker never really felt like he was that far off, felt like he was on some bad teams. But like, or Mac Jones has been this season, where there's some of those reclamation cases. I don't know if he's actually, it felt like that at all. So if you're not going to say he's the reclamation, then you got to go Quinn, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've already got 4 years of Zach Wilson, 3 with the Jets, and Quinn is kind of an unknown commodity. He's played in one NFL game, and he played pretty well when he came in. So maybe you see what you got. If he plays well, then you can potentially move forward with him in the future or draft another quarterback to come in and compete with him and get some draft capital for Tua. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you can get draft capital for Tua at this point, then yeah, you feel pretty good about it, but I don't know if that's going to be possible because, but you are also going to have a really high draft pick, and not as high as you thought you were, before you started winning some games. But you still have a good draft pick. You can go try and get somebody out of there. There's going to be draft quarterbacks that have potential in this year's draft, but maybe not guys that are getting picked, kind of like a Jackson Dart was, or some of these guys are a little bit lower taken. Tyler Shuck has looked decent for New Orleans so far this season. I don't know if he's a long-term answer anywhere because of his age, but he's looked decent there. All right, couple more for you. Liam Cohen has turned the Jags into the best team in the AFC South. They are leading the way right now, 10-4 in the AFC South. They got a 48-20 win over the Jets. This is a turned into a very competitive division now, with the Colts trying to hang on with Phillip Rivers, with the Texans playing lights out defense and the offense starting to get a little bit more used to playing football for, instead of just, you actually got a running get attack a little bit with Jawar Jordan in this last game. But the Jags are holding on to that 10-4. They're holding on to that division lead right now. Dazzley and Cohen turned this team around into the best team in the AFC South.
I mean, I guess. I still think the Texans are the better team. The Jags offense is way better.
It is.
I'll say that.
I do agree. I think there is definitely something to be said of if most teams were to say, what team would you rather face in the playoffs right now, the Jags or the Texans? I think most of them would say the Jags. We'd rather play the Jags. Just because the Texans defense is so elite that the Jags are good at defense and offense, but they're not elite at either one. So, where you could say the Texans, the defense is elite, but the offense hasn't been there. But you're like, but if that offense clicks at all, we're screwed. Because their defense is elite, and where you might be able to fight a battle. I think they're both good teams, but it's a shame they don't get to play. We're playing the Colts last game of the season. It would have been really fun to play the Jags last game of the season, try and get to having a chance to win the division. But we'll see over the next 3 weeks if the Jags get caught up at all. That Colts game is going to be really big.
Here's my thing with the Jags. They've beaten one guaranteed playoff team this year in the Chargers.
Yeah.
The other wins are the Panthers. They also lost to the Bengals. They beat the Texans, the 49ers, the Chiefs were eliminated. They lost to the Seahawks and the Rams. They beat the Raiders by one. Then they lost to the Texans. And then over the last 4 weeks, they've beaten the Cardinals, the Titans, the Colts, with the Daniel Jones injury, and the Jets.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're as good as their record says.
No, they got to go on the road to Denver. They have to go on the road to Indy in these next 2 weeks. Hopefully both losses, so the Texans have a pretty easier shot to go up there and win that division. We'll say that they're the best. One last overreaction for you, Matt. The Cowboys need a full rebuild to fix the issues on this team. You can't fix it in an offseason. You got to tear down to build it back up. Is that the way the Cowboys need to go, in your opinion?
Absolutely. And I've been saying that for 5 years.
So full tear down, no CeeDee Lamb, no anyone on this defense, nobody.
I think there's certain players that you keep.
But you're talking about 3 or 4 years, so now you got to pay those guys. I don't know if there's anybody you keep to pay. I don't know. Like Demo?
Demo would be one that you keep. Quinnen Williams is probably one that you keep. Odighizuwa, maybe.
Oh, can you imagine what would happen if Quinnen Williams is like, finally, all right, I'm on a team trying to win some games. Like, hey, Quinnen, we're going to rebuild. Like, no! I just got off the Jets.
But, like, offensively, I think you keep, like, Tyler Booker and the center. What's his name? The kid from Kansas State. Cooper Beebe. I'm running out of names, Patrick.
I'm telling you, it doesn't feel like there's a lot left there. I mean, Tyler Smith is somebody that's kind of there, but he's been in and out this season.
Yeah, I'd keep Tyler Smith.
But yeah, it's slim pickings. So we'll see. Jerry Jones did speak to the fans today, Matt. And it does feel that he just believes that it's clearly not their fault it is on Matt Eberflus. He's starting to get the blame for this. Some of the quotes we saw, Jerry Jones said, "We let their quarterback have a big day on us. That wasn't the plan. We could have used more pressure question at different times. The result was that we let J.J. McCarthy make some pretty significant plays out there. Plus, he played pretty well." It seems like we're always saying that about these opposing quarterbacks. Some of them hadn't played as well. But when they play us, they play better. I think that's telling, too.
Wow, Jerry. That's some very informative analysis right there. You know what really helps when you're playing against an opposing quarterback?
Yeah.
Who's good? A pass rusher.
They help. Pass rushers do help. It's not, you should have, you know what, you should have drafted one a few years ago. I heard there's this guy, Micah Parsons, that was in the draft. You could have taken. He also would talk about Matt Eberflus when he was asked to take accountability for basically putting in a coordinator who didn't have the players that he would want to have. So, taking him out of Eberflus and going, "You're a linebackers heavy coach, and we don't have any linebackers, so we're going to put you in there. Also, we're going to trade Micah Parsons away right in front of you, so you don't know, you don't even have the game plan that you thought you were going to have." He says, "I'm satisfied that the players we have fit what we're trying to do very well, and that coaches should be able to coach to the players, not to a system."
Sure. I obviously you're wrong. You don't have the players.
No, and I mean, and then also to say, I expect you to just be able to, we'd be able to hire a coach, even though we're not even looking. We'd like the name Eberflus, but we're not going to look at his system versus what our players do. We're going to trust that our players can play in any system and that they can completely change up what they do defensively and their entire idea of what the best defense is to fit what we have as opposed to the other way around, which is how most successful teams build, is you get the right pieces in there. We don't care about that. We just want to have assortment of players and you figure it out.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, it's like taking a golf club into a hockey game.
I think
it's two different things. Like, you can't just fit a square peg into a round hole.
No. But Jerry Jones thinks he can. And then the other one, which we know this is going to be a big deal in the offseason, at least it's going to be another Cowboys blow up and how the Cowboys are going to stay in the news during the offseason, I should say, about Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs said after the game that he was healthy. They keep saying he's not healthy. A couple quotes from today. "Diggs has a very unique way he contributes to a team. He'll go away from the scheme to make a great play. When he doesn't make that play, you have a bad, bad play."
In other words, he's a bad player because he doesn't do the things that he's supposed to do on the field.
Not very coachable.
He highlight hunts.
And then another piece of why he's been not playing and not activated, he says, when he's practicing, he's not convincing the ones that make those decisions. He's not convincing them that he's ready to make those kind of plays.
So he's not practicing hard.
No, saying he can't keep up with anybody. So we don't feel he's healthy because he can't run with anybody. So if he can't run with anybody, then we can't put him out there in the field, which I don't know if that's a health thing as much as it is you paid a guy who doesn't want to work as hard over the offseason and then had a fight with you about it, and now you want to get out of the contract.
He can't keep up with anybody. He hadn't been able to keep up with anybody since he's been healthy. That's why I don't think people understand. Like, yeah, Trevon Diggs was good at making interceptions for like a year, maybe 2 years. But outside of those plays, he was never one of the top cover corners. He was always getting burned. Always.
Yeah.
Sooner Cowboys, you're saying that every day. Like, I get it. That's what you want. I don't think you want that matchup. I don't think you want that.
I don't think he wants Alabama, but
I don't think you want that Kirby Smart defense against John Mattier. I really don't.
No, I don't. All right, Matt, we're going to take our second break real quick. We'll come back. We'll mention the Texas versus Lemoyne Dolphins.
I'll let you handle the majority of that one there, Patrick.
I mean, the LeMoyne Dolphins. We'll mention that. We got 10 minutes left in the show. We got our meathead of the day. We'll get you ready for tonight's big NBA Cup action tonight, too. So we'll get into all that. We come back here in about 2.5 minutes right here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert BK.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and we would like to take a moment to thank all of our clients for making the last 37 years both fun and fruitful. If you haven't yet, I'd like to invite you to give us a try for all your home electronics needs. There's no need to leave your home to find great pricing and incomparable service. No traffic, inexperienced sales geeks, or pushy showroom tactics. We come to you. So just relax, hug your kids, and smile. We handle all the work. Just give us a call at 255-8678 or online at avconsultations.com.
Hello to Jason and the gang over at Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years, folks, of proven expertise, and my back couldn't be happier. Their motto is live wellness, and folks, they can transform your routine, your daily routine, into something very, very special if you have back pain. If you're struggling with thoracic problems, if you've got hip problems, if you've got lumbar problems, please go over to one of their stores. They got 2 great locations, and find out a chair or a recliner or a sofa that's going to fit you and going to make your life a whole lot better. I've got this office chair right here that I've been sitting in for years, and I love it. 2 locations, folks, at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck and relax the back.
SendTextTickets.com. If you're in the market for tickets to any sporting event, any concert, any Broadway show, anything live coming to town, you got to head over to SendTextTickets.com. The best seats to all of the biggest events, not just here in Austin, but all over the state and all over the country as well. It's so easy to use. Just log on your phone or computer to sendtexttickets.com. All of their tickets are 100% guaranteed, and they will be delivered right to your phone or computer. So simple to use, and you're also helping to support a local business every time you shop sendtexttickets.com. So if you want to be at the biggest events in sports and entertainment, there's only one place to go. It's sendtexttickets.com.
Back here on Open Gym, wrapping up the show here on a Tuesday afternoon. We do have the LeMoyne Dolphins tonight for Texas. The Moody Center, I feel like it's going to be pretty empty when we watch that on SEC Network Plus is where you're going to get that. It's in the app. It's not even on regular TV. You have to get it in the app. The name that we all know from LeMoyne is Tennessee Rainwater. Is the kid's actual name is Tennessee Rainwater. 7.5 points per game for Tennessee Rainwater.
Probably some Native American heritage in there. Based on my limited knowledge via Yellowstone, the show, one of the main characters was a Native American, and his name was Thomas Rainwater.
Maybe it could be related. He is from Davenport, Washington.
Yeah.
But yes, Tennessee Rainwater, it's just a great name. It's just a solid name for him. This is not a team with a ton of height, so you expect a lot of passes into Voigtaitis. That's what you expect to see in this game. Voigtaitis has been one of the most fouled players in college basketball this year. I'd expect him to shoot a lot more free throws. I think their tallest player is listed at 6'9". So I expect the ball to go inside early and often. But for Texas, again, this is a warm-up game. Just play good defense for 40 minutes. If you can do that, Sean Miller will be happy. We will be happier. You'll win by 30 points if you play defense for 40 minutes. But if you just get lazier in your assignments because you get up by 10, 15, then this is going to be an annoying game for you, and you guys are going to get yelled at even more after the game. So you want to see them step up to the plate in this one and handle what they need to handle against LeMoyne. yet another team from up in the Northeast. It feels like Sean Miller has brought some of these teams for this week, for this season, Matt, because Lemoyne, another New York team up from that area.
Sean Miller country.
Sean Miller country. He's been bringing these teams in. So we see that one tonight. And, of course, big one, Matt, the NBA Cup Finals. Maybe the biggest game of the season.
Could be.
The Knicks are 2.5-point favorites. Spurs are healthy for this game. That's at 7:30 over on Prime Video. But no, look, it for the Spurs to even be in this game is a lot of fun for a team who hasn't won a ton recently. A lot of top picks. This is kind of a super team of young guys now, of top picks with Dylan Harper and Steph Castle and Wimby. And then you add in De'Aaron Fox to that. Harrison Barnes has been shooting the ball really well for the Spurs so far this season. Luke Kornet's been playing well as an addition. They're starting to get things figured out a little bit more versus the Knicks team with a lot of talent, like a lot of talent on that team with Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, of course, and OG Anunoby and Mikhail Robinson. Like, there are just so many good players on that team. So this is going to be a big test for the Spurs to see if they can play good team defense and if they're going to be able to hang in this game. Victor Wembanyama is going to have a big one. If he can stay in there, he's probably still on somewhat of a minutes restriction. But this is one of those games that for Knicks, they are looking for an NBA championship. And the Spurs won an NBA championship too. But this feels like a big step into winning some big games, putting yourself in those moments that you just haven't been in because you haven't even been a playoff team yet with Victor Wembanyama. So this feels like you get a little bit more of that atmosphere, a little bit more of that big game feel that the Spurs have not really ever played in. So it's good experience. So let's say that, after the huge win over OKC, giving them only their second loss. But that's the game you'll see tonight in the NBA Cup. Let's get to our meathead of the day, Matt. First of all, we already talked about Warren Sapp, who is really your winner of meathead of the day for Texas football is fake. Just really missing the mark on that one when you're recruiting the players you're talking about, that you're recruiting heavily in Texas. Like, Texas football is so fake that the SEC wanted to get a foothold in there. The SEC is so fake that the ACC brought in SMU. So fake that Colorado went back to the Big 12 because they want to get some of that foothold in Texas as well. You want to get some of those players. I get it. Just a weird statement. A weird statement there from him. But that is not what meathead we saw. Our meathead comes from the Chicago Bears game where someone caught this great video of a man trying to get a meal at a Bears game, Matt. That, if you can't see, is a man fully bundled up at a below freezing Bears game with goggles on, beanie, big jacket, and everything else, with a Ziploc bag of spaghetti. And he is eating the spaghetti out of a Ziploc bag, very much a la Charlie Kelly from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But thing to note, if you are in below freezing weather, your spaghetti does not stay warm in a Ziploc bag. That is not a bag that stays warm. That has got to be freezing cold spaghetti.
Well, I think that if you can't afford football food from the concession stand, then you probably shouldn't be paying a premium price to go to a football game.
Well, I mean, look, I think
like you can a hot dog, it's $5.
Well, it's gonna be a cold dog though.
Better than cold spaghetti, Patrick.
So you're not a fan of cold spaghetti at the football game?
I'm not a fan of any food that you're eating out of a plastic bag at a sporting.
But what about just at a movie theater?
That would be even worse. I would report that guy to the box office. Like, this guy's eating spaghetti and meat sauce next to me while I'm watching the Avengers. Get him out of here.
What about at a sauna?
I would probably leave.
That is from Always Sunny, where Charlie is just consistently busting out a Ziploc bag of spaghetti in places where he should not be doing it, and they're wondering where he's getting it from.
We were looking at places to go to brunch in a town called Katy, which is about 30-45 minutes from where I live, and we saw one restaurant, and the first picture for the food in that restaurant was a plastic bag full of spaghetti.
It's an Always Sunny joke. It's an Always Sunny joke. Like, for sure. It is an Always Sunny in Philadelphia joke, for sure. But yeah, no, I've snuck in alcohol to many places. I don't think I've ever snuck in a meal to any places I've been.
Snuck in plenty of booze to Ole Miss games.
Yeah.
Copious amounts, in fact.
Sandy says, spent $20 on food, $125 on booze. That's priorities right there. I like it.
We used to, when I was in college, we would go to the student entrance to the stadium, and there would be people literally throwing like big handles of vodka and whiskey over the fence. And then they'd go, you know, scan their ticket, go just like literally around the corner, like maybe 20 yes. feet, and pick up a giant bottle of like Jack Daniels and just walk with their seats.
Oh yeah. That was always, I loved at Texas games when you would walk out of Texas and you'd be going down the ramps and there would just be empty bottles all down the ramps. Everyone's like, yeah. Hey, then I'm going with that. No, you get that. Chan on the text line before we leave. I would say less than 5 assists. This is not a team that gets a lot of assists. It's not how their offense is running right now. I would not put the Jordan Pope will have over 5 assists. That's just not how the offense is running. He could have some points. Also, their smallest player is listed at 6 foot. Not great for Jordan Pope. But we'll see. I have not watched LeMoyne play. I'll admit, I have not watched LeMoyne play this season. All right, we gotta get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about, after I have watched LeMoyne play basketball tonight. We will talk more about that, more about the transfer portal, all the big things. The playoffs are coming up as well this weekend. We'll get into all that and much, much more. Until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.